Dan, would you? I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Evening, 7:00, June 12, 2017. We have a public meeting here for May 22nd.
I'll move it as printed. We had them on the website.
I'll second.
Any discussion or any amendments to the minutes? I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes for May 22nd accepted. First meeting in a month. We'll do department reports. First, yep, is the highway department. Mr. Lewis?
Okay, for the month of May, it was pretty quiet. We actually had no snowstorms for one.
Hey.
So beavers were very busy. We have quite a few beaver families in town all of a sudden. New Boston Road, Merrill Road, Podunk Road, and South Road. Some of them have kind of slowed down. They've given up. Others have dug their heels in and got more aggressive. So eventually somebody wins the battle. Patching is needed, and it's never ending. It's grading on Hook Road and Tower Hill, Hall Gravel, the Courier Road, and Podunk Road, and it's grading on those two. Lined up our paving projects for probably sometime in July, not quite sure when, but working on that. Got a lot of ditching to do first, quite a bit of shoulder work to do first, but ditches have been too wet to really do much with because they water and doesn't work well when we do it that way. So hopefully July will be drier and we'll get that stuff done.
What are we going to do with our asphalt maintenance? Where are we going to spend that this year?
On Island Road. We're going to pick up from the Critchett Road going down to where the big beaver pond is on the right as you're going down all the way. We'll reclaim that, gravel it, ditch it. I think we have one culvert to do some work to repave that. And then Christine Lane and two sections on Douglas Drive. If you go in Christine Lane to Douglas Drive, we need to add a cross culvert there and a drop inlet because the water comes down Douglas, can't make the corner, crosses Christine Lane, then crosses Pine Ridge and goes into a couple of lots there. As since that development was built, but we do need to fix that.
We'll fix that.
So that'll be done in probably 400 feet of paving on Douglas Drive. And those two projects are pretty much going to use up our money. We got a little spot to do on Fieldstone Lane. And then that's just the shim wire if we can drive the equipment over from Christine Lane and shim it. We've got a repair to do where the top coat is coming off on North Road, right up just beyond Hall's Mill, if you go over that steep hill. I mean, that's happening everywhere, even state roads, other towns. I don't know if paving mix has changed a lot, but you see it everywhere now where it just isn't lasting the way it ought to, and it just comes off in layers. So that's basically going to take all of our
the overlay, just the turnpike.
Oh yeah, top that's middle. The Warren article.
All the way.
Right. That'll be the whole length from the Hoopsit line to Old Candy Road.
Good.
Yeah.
Any questions, Mr. Lewis? Mr. Dan?
Dennis, when you said Hoopsit line and at Candy on Tower Hill, there's some big holes. Who do we contact for?
In Hooksett, you mean?
Yeah, it's Hooksett.
So you can tell where the town line is.
Oh, yes.
Like in the winter with the plowing, you can tell where the line is. But I don't know. I mean, I could call the town of Hooksett and ask them. They're,
I mean, they came out and somebody put a red line around the big pothole.
Well, I can believe it. That biggest one's got to be a foot deep.
Yeah, okay. Oh. Right. I know it's not yours, but I just said it.
Any other questions for Mr. Lewis? No? We'll move on. Police Department, Chief McGillin's here tonight.
Good evening.
Nice to see you. We missed you last month.
I think I saw you. Yeah.
was gonna say, I saw you a couple weeks ago, but you're right. Yep. So I give you guys an update on Jane Drive. We have Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission. They came down. They got a speed device out there measuring traffic and so on, since we had that resident brought up that concern about the speed limit. So they said they should have a report done mid to late June on that. And then we can come back to the board and discuss it further. We've got an ongoing thing with the golf crossing on South Road. It comes up at the safety meetings. Candia Woods Golf Course, we have the crosswalk that's, in my opinion, isn't striped, isn't marked properly. I think it opens up the town, it's a liability. And I was talking to one of the DOT individuals to get some guidance on that, and he thought that me going down there wasn't a good idea to recommend them to paint the crosswalk if it's not going to be up to specifications that the feds use for the state. So they suggested either contacting the town engineering department or Southern New Hampshire Planning, was my idea, reach out to them. Because the speed limit 35, it shouldn't be 35. The state doesn't paint crosswalks on anything above 30. And we're asking them to paint it on a 35 zone. It's congested, there's a lot of traffic in and out. I don't think it's safe through that section. Like I said, this is a reoccurring issue, and I'd like to see it kind of get addressed the right way. I don't want to see the town be open to liabilities. Yeah, we chief recommended we do it this way, and we have a problem down there. So I would like to reach out to Southern New Hampshire Planning and see if they have any suggestions, and then report back to the board. That's what I would like to do, but I figured I'd mention it.
I guess I think we've been through this before, and we must have. Who's responsible for that crosswalk?
I was told it's a town road, that the town's responsible.
We've been through this before.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing thing for years. Same as the parking down further. Right. So the whole thing, you know, it's always fallen on them to maintain it. How that came about, I don't know. But, I mean, it really shouldn't be a town expense because it's private business. It's not like you have a crosswalk coming from the school to the town park. So I think the maintenance should fall on them, but I think we should dictate what that should be for safety reasons so the town isn't liable.
Is it worth meeting with them?
Well, I think we have over the years.
I've met several times with them, and then as you can go down now, I drove by, you can't even see the crosswalk unless you're 10 feet on it.
I guess that would be a question for legal counsel at this point, because if you know, I don't believe that it's a town-maintained crosswalk. Do you? You know,
I don't know who. I don't mind calling legal counsel.
I don't think it's ever been a town-maintained crosswalk, and therefore we need to ask Mr. Mayor what his opinion of that is, and specify who's supposed to be liable for keeping it maintained, because obviously we're not, because we never have. You know, the town of Candy has never maintained that crosswalk. I know, I'm certain of that.
When you think of a crosswalk to state or federal specifications, I think in terms of the traffic having to stop. But with the golf course, the carts come up, they've got a stop sign, they have to stop, the traffic just goes by. So I understand what the chief's saying, like from a liability standpoint, we really should understand at the end of the day how that should be set up properly, you know?
I think I'd give you that advice, chief, to talk about. Absolutely. Run that by him and tell him the situation, how it's been for 40 years now, I guess.
1964.
50 years. 53 years. Yeah. So yeah, that's where we'll go with that.
All right, I'll get some guidance and report back.
Question, who's complaining, the golf course, because people are not slowing down, or what's?
Well, there's multiple issues, you're right. There's a speeding issue. I've had residents on that road quite often report speeding vehicles down through there. And then it comes up at the safety meeting a couple times a year. We have those quarterly safety meetings, people bring it up. They've heard, Mr. Murray's heard stuff, I've heard stuff, people, it just comes up. If you read those minutes, it's been talked about.
Yeah.
Usually Dave and I usually volunteer to go down and deal with these situations. But I was told that by us, by me giving them advice, and then they paying it wrong, it's going to come back on the town, so let's get some...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That shouldn't be anything to do with us at this point. I don't believe that's a town-maintained crosswalk, and we've never authorized a crosswalk to be there. There's never been no plan submitted for a crosswalk at the country club.
What's...
So I got a question. I mean, you know DOT better than any of us. And that stretch is 35. Because of the hill and because that there are pedestrians on there, can the argument from like old Manchester Road to Libby Road to beat it down to 30? And if that's the case, could the state then do pave the crosswalk?
So it wouldn't be up to them since it's a town road.
Yeah. Okay.
The state looking. Says the state defers to the federal manual.
Yeah.
It says they don't put a crossing on any road that's under 30, that's above 30 miles per hour.
Okay, but I mean, you have like DOT. See, this is where I'm trying to learn here. So DOT is on Jane Drive that's measuring the traffic and all that to determine what they want to do over there.
Southern New Hampshire Planning is doing.
Southern New Hampshire Planning. Could something similar be done over there? Because if it's at 30, I'm just indulging. So if it's at 30 from Old Manchester to Libby, would then the state DOT be willing or able to do the crosswalk? Or are they saying regardless that they won't do it because it's a, quote, 35-mile-an-hour road?
They don't do a period. They were just giving some guidance saying that the state does not put any crosswalks on any road that's above 30 miles per hour. And the guy I spoke with suggested that we not get into that same boat.
Oh, okay.
But let's talk to legal counsel and find out if they even...
Thank you.
So 29 is out of the question.
Okay.
Just wondering.
What about a temporary speed bump? Because you only need it during the summer months. I don't know. I mean, if they could...
I think we need to talk to legal counsel first, just to find out who's responsible, and then I can report back, and we can talk about other issues.
I don't think permanent one, because for plowing, but I mean, there's temporary ones that can be used both north and south on that. Two of them, you know, slow it down. All right.
We have another issue with a dead tree down on High Street across from the old Chase's store. I contacted Eversource, they came up, checked it, and then they said it wouldn't interfere with their wires if it came down, so they're not interested in taking it down. So I got to call into the DOT, it's several feet from the edge of the road, and they helped us last time, so I just got the word from this weekend from Eversource, so I just put a call out today to the state, so we'll see what they...
I gave you that number, Chief?
Yep.
King, right?
Hi, Mr. King. I'm not sure of the name, but
okay.
We'll get it looked at and figure it out one way or another. And the resident reported that to me during the elections.
Anything else?
I'm good.
That's it?
Good.
How'd your interviews go?
Which case?
With the, with our resource management program. What was her name, Carol?
I think it went well. My interview, I think, went well. Nobody talked about the interviews. The guys just did their own thing and other staff, so I haven't heard how they made out, but I think it went well.
Oh, good. Yeah. Very well. Any questions for the chief? None. We'll move on. Fire department. Mr. Young's at a fire meeting this evening. Mr. Dan, would you like to do that?
I would be glad to. Regular, the highlights for May was regular truck and building maintenance, training on fire safety, advanced hose lines, and auto extraction tools and techniques, and very heavy on EMS training. The department activity, basically for fire alarm situations, there was a total of 26, and again, 17 of those were EMS calls. So it's basically the same each month. It's very heavy on EMS in this town. Brush burning permits were 22, and I didn't go past Smokey Bear to find out what it is posted today.
It's high.
Pardon?
I think it's high.
High? Yeah. Okay. But that's, it's right there, and it's, I didn't come down that way, so I didn't see it. Again, fire department very active in their training. Well done, sir.
Any questions? Moving forward, building and department, Mr. Murray is absent tonight. Granddaughter's mass graduation. I'll do his report for him. Permits issued in May of 2017 was 33. Open code enforcement cases, he closed one from last year. There was four. There's one still open, closed case, that's the one right here. Inspections performed, 66. COs closed, 21. And permit renewals, 4. The permit fees are up a little bit for the month of May, but still down overall for the year. I know Dave's been very active with the planning board. He's had a lot of plans come through, applicants for different things in town, so he's been very busy and he's doing a good job. Any questions? Did you have a question, Mr. Chivas? Oh, I thought I saw you move.
He's got the new car now, too.
He's got an old.
Oh, but I mean, but yeah. One that's running this time.
Yeah, it seems to run. Our car runs well for him. He said it goes good.
Right.
Solid waste. I don't see a report.
There isn't any report this evening. But I just wanted to mention, I think you all saw that letter, a resident sent. This is the referring to the Sunday after the townwide yard sale, where he commended Nick for all the help. And I didn't realize, and you know, being new, but after the townwide yard sale that Sunday it's a zoo at the recycle center, because people that didn't get anything sold, and they bring it in. And it can go some to the swap shop, some things they don't need, but what I'm saying is puts an extra load on the personnel there, and the personnel are there all the time and help whenever they've got to be up there where the construction waste is, to see if it's, you know, the right things are being disposed of, and also if there's mattresses or anything. So they've got to be all over. And I just really want to commend the staff over there, how well they work together, and the people praise them. And sometimes we end up hearing somebody has a complaint, but here's one that's a positive. And I think this is all in everybody's folder earlier in the week. But again,
very good. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Please. Anything else?
I can't. We'll probably have more at the next meeting.
Okay, very good.
There's some materials went out, you know, at
that point. Other departments? Scott, you got anything on the Moore Park? It looks pretty good over there. The buildings look nice. The bleachers look good.
Yeah.
The fence looks better.
I still got to track down the guy from PSNH on the light for the skateboard park. So. That's
you got his number?
That's the open thing. The guy we had left, and I've been kind of going back and forth. It's been a little bit hard coordinating with those guys, but
Mark Gagnon?
Yeah, he's gone. He's down in Nashville now. It's another, yeah. So
I'll get your number tomorrow.
I got the number, but I've been, it's just been trying to coordinate. Something's been a little bit challenging, so I put another call in today, so good. We'll get it done.
While we're on that subject of the park, would you ever think about when we're doing some road reconstruction and grinding that and paving that entrance again?
Have we thought about
Could we think about that possibly for budget time? It's rough.
Needs doing. Hmm? I think the last time we did it was maybe 16, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Needs doing.
Yeah.
I can figure out what it would cost per ton.
That'd be good. Maybe we pull a strip out back here too, if you.
I mean, a new, in the parking area, you mean?
No, between the parking area and the skateboard park.
Oh, that whole area, or
that'd
just...
That'd be kind of nice. Just the strip, you know?
Sure would be nice to make easy plowing.
Well, they park, you know, they park on each side, and if there was an asphalt strip in the middle, it would kind of like leave the middle open. It's just a thought. I just try to improve the park a little bit. Looks nice over there. Buildings look good. Very good.
Question, Scott. On that light, would you be talking to them about LEDs?
Yes.
Okay. Because the Energy Committee is doing all that type of research.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where did you want to move that shed to? Remember there was some talk of moving that? Wanted me to move the shed?
It'd be nice.
I talk to the people who use it from time to time, and they find it most convenient where it's located. So,
well, it's like, convenient, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It's nice.
You know, tucked away there, you know, a few more steps. I'm good with that, you know.
Once they pick it up, we move it anyway.
But no, just, you gotta agree, if it doesn't bother anybody but me, then too bad for me. But I think it's...
Yeah, aesthetically, you know, it would probably...
We fixed up the buildings, put roofs and painted and puttied, and that building's been sitting there since they put it there.
Even if we just tucked it over to the tree line.
To the right.
Those batting cages.
Yeah, and it needs, you know, it kind of sets down, sets down in the snow. It really kind of needs to come up a little bit. It needs a little bit of paint. A little bit of paint,
some
too.
Gravel from down the salt shed, make a pad, put on a few blocks.
Yeah, and get it up out of the snow a little bit, you know, in the wet.
Won't take much.
You're going to do it then?
As long as it doesn't fall in the pieces halfway.
That's right.
The minute you put...
I think I mentioned
it. Fire 3 years.
I think it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. It's worth waiting for.
Tell me where you want it.
All right, that's it on that. Sorry, Scott.
I got overruled on that.
Yeah.
All right, that's it on our department reports, I guess. Anybody got anything else? If none, we have Mr. John Cronin here to meet with the board to discuss Leave Town LLC, Island Road and Raymond Candia Line. Good evening, John. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, the members of the board. My name is John Cronin. I represent the Board of Greentown, who owns the property out at the Raymond Line, which I know you're all well aware of. Our clients acquired it accidentally, shall I say. They made a loan to the prior owner, and were forced to take it back. So they're reluctant owners, but owners that recognize that there's a lot of acreage there, there's a lot of potential there, and that it's owned residential. We, as a firm, there's 8 lawyers in our firm, and we do a lot of land use, which typically is the subdivisions and site plans, variants, and special exceptions. And from time to time, we represent towns, and we do various things in rezoning. When this came to me, an application had already been filed at the ZBA for a variance. I sat down and I reviewed it, and I said, gentlemen, I think I respect what you're trying to do, but it's the wrong approach. You have a property of this size and magnitude and no specific uses for it. I don't know of any zoning board that would be comfortable granting you a use variance for some undetermined uses in the future. We talked about it a little bit, and I suggested the better way to approach this would be to do a professional job, look at the property with some experts, an engineer, a zoning professional, traffic engineer, and try and draft a petition that people could embrace. Not just the select board and the planning board, but the people that live in that area, who when this was filed, you know, I came to the hearing and withdrew it. There were a number of folks here that I had a chance to chat with outside, and anyone that would live in that area would naturally be concerned about it. If I lived there, I'd be concerned about it. People don't like change. So we've assembled a team, including Mark Fugier, who we spoke with initially, who many of you know. He is a selectman over in Milford. He's been the circuit rider for the southern tier from a planning perspective. He's been the planner up in Henniker, sits in Hollis, and he does a lot of consulting work as a professional planner, assisting with the drafting of ordinances, fine-tuning ordinances, and is very familiar with some of the flex zone and performance zones, which seem to be the going trend to give towns flexibility to do things that may be revenue positive without getting caught in the quagmire of variances and other obstacles, but still giving you the control to deny in the appropriate case. The owners, our clients, looked at this particular site, and of course there's a lot of value there in rock. The prior owner did not do a tremendous job, and I'll try to be diplomatically correct and leave it at that as far as the facings that were left and the condition of the site. Fortunately, our folks have been able to establish a recycling operation on the Raven side. There's two other parcels that abut this that are in Raven, and they have permitted an approval to do some work over there, which is modest in scale, but at least it's getting some revenue generated to cover taxes and operating expenses. But long term, this is a 75 acres that would have a long absorption rate no matter what you do. Some of the people that I've spoken to, just under the general notion that there's a parcel of land out there, it's relatively close to a very prominent and major highway. One was an operator of athletic fields for profit. They have an operation down in the south of Foxborough, Massachusetts, there where the old dog track used to be. It's a complex of outdoor fields. And they had, I won't say an interest because it was basically an inquiry. As we talked about it, said maybe we can establish some type of ordinance that will allow something like that, which I think would be a win-win use. It would be good for the public, it would be good for the tax base, it wouldn't generate a lot of traffic during the weekdays, but they do host tournaments, good for the local economy. And combine that with other type of light commercial and industrial type uses. I'm not a planner, I'm not a builder, I'm not a developer, so I can't say what makes economic sense. But when we start to embark on these endeavors, I think it's always best to start with the selectmen and the planning folks. Let them know what we're doing, ask if they want to participate. I always give out the invitation if the selectman wants to nominate a person, maybe a select person or someone else, to join us at the meetings just to observe what we're doing and the approach we're taking. I welcome that. That's something the planning board would like to do. Also welcome that so that they can be part of the process, kind of coach us up, like, this thing's not going to work, have you thought about this, and get some feedback rather than try and force some type of warrant article in late November and early December and catch everyone off guard. So I can do it that way. I'm happy to come back periodically and report to you folks or whoever you suggest and tell you what we're doing. We haven't had our initial meeting yet to start drafting. I anticipate next month we will have a meeting with the traffic engineer, the civil engineer, Mr. Fougier, and the clients, and also with the rock expert to take a look at how that could be contoured to make it use and what land, due to wetlands classifications, there's some wet stuff out there that's just non-developable, so to speak. So they're going to have to do that mapping and get it squared away. So basically, I'm here just to tell you what we're doing and invite you, if you wish, to designate someone or a board or a party to join us in this process. And we hope to have something, you know, initial draft in September, tweak it for October, and be ready in November to present something for the voters to consider for a zoning change in the springtime. I'm happy to entertain any questions.
I think if you notify the office when you're going to have a meeting, someone from the planning board or the select board will be noticed and see if they're interested.
Yeah, sure.
Where are you planning on having a meeting?
Probably in my offices in Manchester.
Manchester, okay.
Not too far.
Yeah.
And we have a large enough conference room there where we could accommodate all the parties and any guests that want to come. So, yeah, we welcome any involvement. Should I write to the select board, or should I?
Just email Andrea.
Okay.
The office.
And let her know
what's
going on.
She'll let us know.
And as we go through the process, we'll keep you posted, whether you attend or not, as to what we're doing. And we'd ask you if you see things that you either like or don't like.
Well, that's more planning board.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I can copy them as well.
At some point.
Keep everybody involved. But the worst thing for us to do is to show up late October, November with something that, with all the other business you have to do, right? And if it's going to be something like a performance zone, which has worked pretty well in Bedford, Massachusetts has had some success in these types of parcels with some flex zones, so it gives you a broad scope of what you can do, subject to the controls that you would typically have with density and traffic and setbacks and all that sort of thing. So that's what we're shooting for. And the more information that we can provide to you, and in turn, at least be on the public record for people in that area that we're never going to get to know and may not choose to speak to us, which they have no right, you know, no obligation to speak to us, may be interested in seeing what we're doing, and we'll welcome them to give us some feedback also. Because the property's there, it's in a location I think that's remote enough. You're on 27, which is a major thoroughfare. It does have frontage at two points. It also has frontage accessible from Raymond, and we could, you know, look at it that way. So I'll keep you posted.
Any questions for Mr. Cronin, Scott?
Just a comment. I mean, when you drive by there, it does not have a residential feel to me at all. It has a more commercial, industrial feel. But I know one of the concerns that I've heard from talking to people in town is the whole reclamation. So I would suggest that you get your engineers involved and really look at that and what the costs are going to be, because that's, you know, I've been told that the reclamation is going to be so expensive that the reclamation could be more than the value of the land. So you probably know that, but.
The good news for reclamation is the obligations are well defined by statute, and there's been a lot of similar properties that have been mined. One that we were dealing with over in the Epping area, over by the Walmart, that the state took over and ran with a rock company and extracted a lot of the rock for 93, Route 3, and for 101 repairs. So there are criteria that are in place, and the people that work in that field know what's necessary for reclamation, and certainly we would expect that they'll be looking at that as they design a type of zoning ordinance. There's no waiver, there's no variance to that. You have to comply with state law and get it done the way they want. So we recognize that's an obligation, and that both the planning board and this board and the residents deserve to have it reclaimed the way it's supposed to be reclaimed. So that's a non-issue. There is, as you drive by, you can see right now outside the gate, there's a substantial area of level land that could be utilized today. Very small in comparison to the total acreage. When you start looking at the costs to level out some of those steep slopes and get to it, is it feasible, is it not? And that's going to be part of the challenge for the talented engineers and designers and zoning folks to determine what's the best way to lay this out. They do have some wetland data. I don't know how current or accurate it is, but we contemplate that we have to do at least some aerial wetland mapping to get a sense of what's at issue. And you can't do it with precision, but you can look and say, okay, we got issues over here that are going to require a more refined and specific approach and actual flagging, or you can say, hey, those 15 acres, let's not bother. So as you say, when you look at it, when I looked at the variance application, it was done by an engineer who did a nice job addressing the criteria, the five criteria, and certainly I think if someone looking at it objectively, you wouldn't want to have a home there. It's not really a residential area. But to ask for a variance without a defined use, I think is too much of an ask. If they came in with that ball field, for instance, and said, we want a variance on 15 acres to do this ball field use, that's a different story. I think that would be something that a zoning board could look favorably on. But I think from our approach, and my recommendation is to, why do it piecemeal and get everybody worked up every time you have a new project? Why don't you try and get it zoned appropriately so that as you get potential users for it, you have a knowledge of what you can do, you can market it appropriately, and then have some confidence that the money that you spend, there'll be an end with an approval. So that's what we're trying to accomplish.
I think I like that idea of getting out ahead and letting people know step by step or what have you, instead of, like you're saying, in November or something, just that pre-planning.
I think it's no secret that when you look at statewide citizens' petitions, if they're not supported by the select board or the planning boards, they don't have a great percentage of passing. Maybe if they're neutral, they have better results. But certainly if the selectmen and the planning board appraise it, embrace it, and think it's a good idea, your opportunity to get it approved is much greater. And this is not going to be cheap for them to do. They don't want to do this and go through this effort and pay these experts to fail. They're hoping they can get something done that people will like and support.
Anything else?
Thank you for the time. We'll keep you posted, and we're looking probably at mid-July for a meeting.
Okay. It's coming right up.
Yeah, that's just around the corner.
Well, December will be here. Well, everybody on our side knows what's going on, and we've been in touch with them. I don't think the meter's starting to run yet for our client. Halfway through June now. It's going to be December, unfortunately, pretty soon.
Thank you for your time.
Have a good night.
Good to see you.
That was an email. I'm sorry, I didn't have the email that.
Oh, I got the email right here.
Yeah, it's right on the top. It says Al Hall recently stepped down.
Yeah.
So.
Mike Sheehan, if he will be taking his place?
He's filling in at the rest of Al's term.
I'm not sure if this needs to double check.
I don't think Al has that much of a term left. But.
So do I have a.
Got a motion.
Do I have a motion to appoint Mike Sheehan to the Upper Lamprey Scenic Byway Council to fill the remainder of Mr. Hall's term?
I'll make that motion.
Do I have that motion? Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Anyone in favor of that?
No.
All right. Is Mr. Sheehan a resident?
Yes.
I don't know Mr. Sheehan. Not Mike Sheehan. I know Bill Sheehan. I don't know Mike. So anyway, good luck to him. I hope he does well.
Looks like the term's only like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, it's not going to be very long.
And Mr. Aubrey, would you authorize the payment of payroll checks and accounts payable, please?
Yes. Payroll manifest, 1st of June, $28,357.76. 8th of June, 2017, $18,319.30. 15th of June, $16,764.81. Payroll subtotal of $63,441.87. Accounts payable manifest, 1st of June, $31,640.11. 8th of June, 2017, $379,536.72, of which $334,419 is to the school district. 15th of June, 2017, $8,205.30 for accounts payable subtotal of $419,382.13, a grand total of $482,824 even.
Mr. Dan?
What?
Approve that, please.
I make a motion? I'm sorry, okay. Yeah, I so move.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Any other business? Mr. Komisar?
No.
Nothing? Mrs. Young?
Nope.
Mr. Dan?
Just thank you for all that helped out with the election last week. A reminder that the general election for the special election District 16 between Mr. Kavanaugh, Alderman Kavanaugh of Manchester, and Mr. Booten out of Hooksett is 7/25/2017. Same time. Yeah. Oh. Same time, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. here at the town offices. I will be looking to make sure we get some people involved to volunteer for that, and so you'll be getting an email in the next couple of weeks on it. So I wanted to give the date right away so people have plenty of time so they can free their calendars.
Very good. One quick note, we still need a trustee of the trust funds, somebody to step up. We have Carol Coppola, who's got done, and Dennis Siebert is an alternate, doesn't have time to be a full member. So we're looking for a trustee of the trust funds.
No one's shown interest in that, huh?
Not yet. Anything else? If not, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
No, I just, Scott, anybody come forward to for your committee?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
All right, no.
No.
What committee are we talking about?
Economic development, yeah, we haven't had any response to the office either, so.
Have you had any reports from Carol Ogilvy?
I haven't, no.
She's working on the, what was setting up again?
Oh, the,
CTAP, is it CTAP?
The, Plan New Hampshire grant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a plan, that's planning board.
Another steering committee, correct?
I don't know.
We talked about that, the planning board did, but there's still other members from the former steering committee that would be helpful, I think. Entertain a motion to adjourn, 7:40.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.